Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Last week, Pastor Paula gave us an incredible introduction to the word faith and challenged many. I heard whisperings throughout the week in my life groups and by talking to other people about how it challenged them. Last week challenged them, and they've been really walking out faith in action. And you might have thought, man, last week got me, it hurt a little, it challenged me to grow, thank goodness it's over. But let me tell you, God had a different something in mind for you, because we're just going to keep talking about faith. Today we are in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be starting in verse 27, where, like I said, Jesus is in full-on ministry mode. People are starting to see him and recognize him. They're recognizing it so much that people are starting to follow him wherever he goes. And sometimes for days at a time, people will be following him, pleading for him to heal them, for them to just get to experience and see what's happening. And so we pick up in verse 27. After Jesus left the girls' home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying. And Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were opened and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, "Don't tell anybody about this." But instead, they went out and spread his fame all over the region. So here we see there's plenty to unpack today. But we're going to start with, we have two blind men here. And they're following Jesus. And it says that they are yelling out for Jesus to have mercy on them and heal them. They're blind. They cannot see. These men had the faith without even being able to see anything with their eyes. Last week, Pastor Paula read us Hebrews chapter 11, which biblically defines faith. And here's what it says. It says, "Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not." This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Assurance about what we do not see. If that's the definition of faith, I think it perfectly describes the mindset of these two men who literally cannot see. Not only can they literally not see Jesus, who is in front of them, but they also cannot see in any other way as well. They don't see in their minds how they could possibly be healed, because they've gone their whole lives without being able to see. It doesn't make sense to them that they could be healed in a moment. But yet we see faith exercised through a couple of men who could not only not see Jesus with their own eyes like everybody else could, but they also have a condition where they have a hard time seeing how Jesus could come through. I gave this sermon a little bit of a controversial title, because that's the way I roll. I'm calling this sermon today, Blind Faith. Notice the blind is in quotations, because I think too often Christ followers fall into the trap that their faith needs to be blind. That they just need to, as Pastor Paula warned us against last week, wait around and wait for God to come to you the way that you expect him to, and that's what faith is. I think sometimes Christians feel like they have, like, to have faith, it means they're not allowed to wonder. I think sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that to have faith means you're not allowed to have questions. That to have faith means that you don't have to do your homework. To have faith means that you blindly believe. And let me tell you, while faith doesn't need to see, faith is most definitely not uneducated. Faith is not uneducated. And that's our first point for today. One commentator said it this way. He said, faith is rooted in the unseen identity and promises of God in Christ. Do you know the unseen identity and promises of God? Because these two blind men sure did. They knew God. They knew who their God was. They knew the identity and the promises of their God. How do we know that? They called him the Son of David. That meant that they knew the promises of God. Son of David was a prophecy of old. So the prophet Jeremiah spoke God's words about Jesus hundreds of years before he ever was even born. This is what Jeremiah said as God instructed him. He said, "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will have a descendant sitting on the throne of Israel forever." That same prophecy was given to Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's dad, and he said it in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 67. He said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us." Here's what these two blind men knew. They knew the promises of the Old Testament and what had happened up until this point. They knew their Bible. And although they hadn't seen those promises come to fruition yet, they knew the identity of their God. They knew that he could be trusted and that he would keep his promises because they had learned long ago what would happen and what was said of Jesus. And because they knew that, they could exercise in faith, "You're the one," they said, "would come." As they yelled, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us," it's almost as if they were saying, "We recognize that you're the one we've been waiting for. We recognize the promises of hundreds of years that are being fulfilled in this moment. And because we know that you are who you said you are, we know you can heal us right now." If these guys wouldn't have known their Bible, known their Torah, this faith would have been impossible. It's impossible to have a faith that says, "Oh, you're the Messiah, the Son of David," if they didn't know the prophecies of old that said, "Oh, the Messiah, he's coming through the line of David." It's interesting, that term, Son of David, was only used in like four instances in the New Testament. These guys used it. There's another story of a blind man begging for Jesus to heal him. That blind man also calls him the son of David. Some demons who, if you know, there's a war that's being waged that's beyond what we can see here in the principalities, right? And so the demons know exactly who Jesus is. They know exactly, they've seen him. They saw him long before he was ever born. And so demons that were inside of people, they when they were getting ready to be cast out, they called him the son of David. That's three. And then the fourth time we see son of David used was at the triumphal entry, when Jesus rode in on a donkey and people were crying out and praising him and saying, "Holy, you're the one we've been waiting for. You're our Messiah. You're the one that's going to save us. You're the one. You're everything that they've said you would be. And we worship you for that, son of David." Every time that son of David word was used, that line was used, it was a calling on the promises of old that said, "God, we know that you promised to send us a savior." And when they call Jesus the son of David, they say, "You're the God that keeps his promises." You guys should be more excited than this. I'm just letting you know right now that you guys are not excited enough. This is the late service. It's by knowing the word of God, knowing his identity, knowing his promises, and having all the receipts of the times that he has come through in faith. It's by that, by knowing that, that this type of faith that we're talking about today is able to exist. And when you have that type of faith, a type of faith that looks back on receipts and says, "Oh, look, God came through there, God came through there, God came through there, God did what he said there, God kept doing what he said he was going to do there." Because of all of those receipts, I can now stand in boldness and proclaim that he is who he says he is, because faith like that produces boldness within us. Let's go back to the verse. After Jesus left the girl's home, the two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Then they went right into the house where he was staying. That's intrusive. That's bold. They just walked right up inside of there. They said, "Oh, that's where you're going? That's where I'm going too." Because when we know what we know, there's a boldness that rises up inside of us that says, "No, no, 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 I'm going where you go. I'm doing whatever you say." Because of their knowledge of the promises and the identity of God, they knew who Jesus was and what he was capable of. That knowledge produces a boldness inside of us that allows them, that allows us to chase after Jesus. It was that knowledge that led them to beg him to heal them, because they knew that he would show up. I'm going to say a hard thing this morning. If you aren't willing to run after Jesus in your prayers and boldly beg for his will in your situation without a single doubt in your mind that he can and he will come through for you, you might need to go back and do some more learning about God's promises and his identity, because you don't know them well enough. And notice I said, beg God for his will in your situation, not your will in your situation. Pastor Paula hit the nail on the head last week when she said, it's time for us to abandon our opinions, right, of what it looks like, and stop demanding our own way as to how he can show up. We're not allowed to put limits on how God's able to show up in our life. We're not allowed to put these barriers around it that say, God, in order for you to show, I have faith that you're going to show up. And when I say show up, it looks like this, 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 and this. God says, no, 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 no. I know how I need to show up. And if you can't approach God and beg boldly for him to come through in the way he has in mind, it might be time to go back and do some learning.
That's right.
A true faith is able to quote Hebrews 13, 6 through 8 over a situation. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you have a boldness that knows who God was yesterday, knows who God is today, and then you can know who God is going to be forever. And do you know what? A faith like that, it can't be quiet.
Right.
A faith like that cannot be shut up. A faith like that cannot back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to our verse again. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anybody about this. But instead they went out and spread his fame over all the region. Well, why did Jesus tell them that? Why did he say to be quiet? Were they walking in disobedience? One scholar points out that Jesus probably asked them not to share because he was exercising humility. He didn't want the fame. He didn't want all the praise. He didn't want, because the Jews, they had in mind what it was going to look like when the Messiah came. And Jesus was on a strict mission to blow that out of the water. The Jews said, oh, he'll be a king. We'll put a crown on his head. We'll put fancy robes on him. We'll worship him. We'll do whatever he says. And Jesus is saying, I'm not interested in being a temporary prince. I'm not interested in your temporary fame. I'm interested in being your forever Messiah, the one who is going to humble himself, hang on a tree for your salvation. I'm interested in being somebody who shows you what it looks like to be humble. Jesus' response to this man was much less about saying, hey, obey me, and was much more about saying, hey, this is what humility looks like. Humility looks like deflecting off of me up to my Father in heaven and giving him all of the glory. But these guys' faith, their response screams faith. They went out and they spread his fame all over the region. What we know to be true about Jesus should make us want to spread his fame all over the region. It should make us want to spread his fame all over the world. We shouldn't be able to be quiet about this faith that's welling up inside of us that says, this is the Messiah. It should make it to where we are unable to stop talking about him. Willing to tell anyone and everyone who will listen. If we aren't there yet, maybe we need to go back and learn more about God. Maybe we need to go back and learn more about his promises and his identity. Maybe we need to look through, starting at Genesis, and see how God showed up. And then into Exodus, where God showed up for the Israelites. And then in all the way through the Old Testament, where he continued to show up for his people. And then into the New Testament, where he was born and started showing up for his people in a whole new physical way. And then how he's still showing up for the people in your life today. And how we can see that we have a track record of a God who keeps his promises. We have a track record of a God who never fails. And it's with that confidence that we can not be quiet. How can you stop talking about a God that has that kind of track record. Because true faith cannot be quiet. It needs to tell anyone and everyone who will listen. We might be in several different places today. You might be in here hearing me talk about faith and following Jesus and go, yeah, you're right, Sheree, I don't have those receipts. I don't have a long laundry list of ways that God has shown up for me. I don't know his word. I don't know all of the times that he's shown up before. But you piqued my interest. I think I might want to know that, God. Let me explain to you what that would look like. What knowing God looks like. Today would just be step one. Step one would be saying no to yourself.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.